B-Pod Studios.
It's a bat. They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Let's see, 12:06 now. We are now 12 minutes into summer. Ted Johnson and me, Hardy, here, Mike O'Brien on headlines. Taking your call, 617-779-0985. Ted Johnson, another one of these guys in and around the Sports Hub. I would say you and Mike Flynn both fit this description as football players who not crazy about being around other football players in terms of the smell. Mike Flynn, another, like, you know, for an offensive lineman, he was a clean guy. He is a clean guy.
Right.
You know, he just...
Very unusual for an offensive lineman.
Exactly, right? I don't think he enjoyed the whole mixing it up. Mm-hmm. Ted Johnson admitted just moments ago that he shied away from contact on many plays and took plays off just so he wouldn't have to, you know, come into contact with other smelly men on the field. Did you not say that?
I did not say that.
Okay,
You got it totally backwards on that.
I misinterpreted.
You did, big time. Right. I mean, you're terrible at your job right now.
I put my... Jesus. I put my own thing into what you were
you did.
Saying.
All right. Yeah, you absolutely did. I mean, offensive lineman, can I just real quick, just a little, when I talk about offensive lineman, my favorite unit on a football team. They don't give a crap about anything, about how they smell, how they look, how they present themselves. Most of them marry their high school or college sweethearts, right? And it's usually those high school or college sweethearts that plan all the parties for the team. They get everybody together. So they do more than just block for their quarterback and their running backs. I mean, they add a lot to a team, unit.
In terms of, like, you know, the units, they're the ones that are maybe most likely to stay together, you know, season after season.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
They're the ones truly that while everybody in a perfect world should be interested in teamwork amongst the team and amongst the unit, but for them, it is supremely important. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is. They're doing their own thing.
They are.
You know, they're doing their own thing. When it comes to linebackers, I mean, it's like you guys.
Oh, no, we're
a tight-knit group, but not certainly not the same as what, you know, receivers are.
That's true.
It's like, okay, you're on that side. I'm on this side. I'm trying to get mine. You do whatever you got to do. It really doesn't have much to do with me. If you're going to run around underneath that draws a defender off. Thank you very much, but don't expect me to be doing the same for you. I'm out there to get mine for the offensive lineman. No, we have to do this together. There's no way around it.
Yeah, it's the most interdependent position.
Yes.
But football, what I love about football is truly, of all the other sports, I mean, it really is the most interdependent sport there is, meaning my nose tackle, if he doesn't do his job, I can't do my job. If I don't do my job, my strong safety can't do his job. But in particular, when you break it down, the game within a game, the offensive lineman, truly, it's even more important that the guy next to you is doing his job, or else you'd be terrible at your job. But I would always contend that the linebackers are probably the best athletes out there. The hybrid nature of the position you play, you can rush the passer, you're big and strong, you take on offensive linemen, but you can also cover running backs out of the backfield. So athletically, some of the most gifted athletes in all the sports, I would contend.
And distinguished.
And distinguished.
Weaver, the tight end, comes in motion to the left. Play action fake by Fever. He's going to be sacked. Barreling in was Ted Johnson.
How many career sacks?
11 and a half.
How many years?
You know,
how many? In 11. I'm just.
Okay.
Athletic prowess. You were just going on and on about how
I was a little
you're
bit.
Like a supreme human being.
Okay.
How many years in the league?
I played 10 years. 10 years.
It's a little over one sack a year?
They didn't blitz me a whole lot. They did not blitz me a whole lot.
Apparently not.
That was, look, we all have our strengths, and there's two ways to keep a job in this league. You're either pretty good at a few things, or you dominate at one thing, Hardy.
Could set a sundial by the number of sacks that you
11 and a half sacks. It was usually off a twist and stunts. And that's okay.
What's a large number of sacks for a linebacker?
And 13, Patriots showing blitz. Werfel calling signals. Here they come. Back to throw. He's going to be hit. Going to be sacked. Got him back inside the 40 at about the 37. Ted Johnson.
That's two out of the 11 and a half.
Yeah. Don't ask Lawrence Taylor.
Jim has already played nearly 20% of all sack calls.
First and 10, Buffalo at the Patriot 28. Bledsoe back to throw the rush. Ted Johnson on the blitz. Saxon back at the 35-yard line.
I was a tackle guy. I made tackles.
Looking at his stats right now, his tackle numbers are quite good.
Tackle numbers.
Trying to counter from left to right and just annihilated by Ted Johnson.
Thank you, Gil.
You know it's fun being around Ted, like in a setting outside of like the radio station. Like I hung out with him a bit at the golf tournament a couple of years ago. Oh my God, the people. They just go nuts when they see him.
Flocked.
Oh, my God. And, you know, with Zoe, it's more of like, you know, there's a Grimace, you know, from, you know, there's Big Bird, you know.
You're not sure what
there's
to do.
There's Snuffleupagus. I want to go have my picture taken with him and, you know, kind of rub his fur. Ted, it's like love. Oh, they just love Teddy.
Fans are very nice to me.
Ted.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love the fans. I got drafted in 1995. I could have gone to 29 other teams. There was only 30 teams in the NFL then. And I got picked by the team that is going to probably be considered the best franchise in the history of football. So I was very lucky to play in this town. I will willingly admit that. And the fans are unmatched. So I enjoy, and unlike maybe like not a lot of athletes enjoy the interaction with the fans. I'm from the South. I got a lot of my dad in me, and that's a Ted Senior kind of quality. We enjoy small talk. We enjoy connecting with people. So whenever I get a chance to talk to the fans, within reason, I enjoy that that interaction.
As long as it's not interrupting your workout, of
course. Right. Right.
And you've showered.
But even at the gym, I'll be nice to you.
Let me ask you something. Along those lines, would you have rather been able to choose where you played instead of being drafted and being told where you were going to go? Because this was something that has been talked about here in light of last night's NBA draft. And it was put forth there by the NBA commissioner that there's a lot of unhappiness in the NBA right now. And some of it you can attribute to social media and social media obsession. Sometimes it's chemical. And we certainly know that, you know, contributes to, you know, a mental state maybe more than anything. But in terms of just, you know, quality of life, would you consider an idea where players are somehow allowed to choose where they go and play? Because this has been floated out there as a way to make players happier with their lives if they have a say in where they get to play.
Wow. This is an amazing world we live in. I mean, this is old school people are out there going throwing up in their mouths right
Kevin
now.
Kevin Arnovitz.
Good luck with that. You can't.
Wrote a column, said, let Zion Williamson choose where he wants to play next. In the NBA, first-round pick shows promise is effectively under the control of the team that drafted him for the first 7 years of his career. That means in the most formative years of their professional development, the most talented young men in basketball are given no agency to decide what most of us take for granted, where we will live, work, and put down roots in our adult lives.
There's two things that where you just kind of scratch your head. I've never really thought about it that way, where you don't get to choose. Free agency you get to. You hope that you have somebody that wants you. So free agency is the only time you get to really pick. But the two things that are kind of very dissimilar, and a lot of people want to compare the NFL to their working environment, which is like insane to even go there. One thing is you don't get to choose. They choose you, so you have no choice when you get drafted. And the other one is that I've always had an issue with that is I feel like isn't fair, and I've gotten into it with my co-host when I would work in Houston, is all of our contracts being public information. Nobody wants in the real world, nobody wants, and people protect that piece of information.
How much money do you make? How dare you ask me that?
But our salaries are out there for everyone to see. And my co-host in Houston, Tom Pendergast, would always say, well, there's so much you couldn't talk about. The cap and filling in. Okay, I guess. But when everybody knows the money, that's when the harsh criticism comes down. That's when people are very, very – they use what guys make against them. So those are just two little things that I kind of have always had issues with. But the guys being able to choose where they play, you can never address an entire team. I mean, who the hell wants to go play for Buffalo? I mean, Buffalo can't get a free agent unless they overpay, right? Or else the player has zero options left. So they go play for Buffalo. Nobody wants to go play for Buffalo. Nobody wants to go play for Tampa Bay. Nobody wants to play for Jacksonville. Those are just cities that in places that people don't want to play, you know, play football. But you have to have a draft, or else you could not dress 32 teams in the NFL.
All of this gets addressed in this article, and it's mostly in regard to the NBA. And by the way, we're still talking Celtics and NBA draft with you, and you're welcome to join us here at 617-779-0985. But you know, they put forth a lot of examples. They said, well, everyone's just going to want to go play for the Lakers. Well, the Lakers are getting top draft picks right now, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they are all of a sudden head and shoulder. They've got the best player in the world, arguably, on their team. He's going to be there for his second straight year. They're getting some more top picks. Now, with Anthony Davis here, this might be the year they turn it around, but it doesn't necessarily automatically mean that you're going to be the best. And the salary cap would still keep things in check in terms of guys and where they want to go, and you would still be able to factor that in. I have some thoughts on this, really related more to the whole development and lifestyle of that choice, that I can stay on the other side and I can save it for a minute. But we'll talk about that and much more with Ted, who also, by the way, will at some point today tell me about going to the Masters, because I'm still waiting to find out what happens with this year's application.
I love that story yesterday.
That I put in for Masters tickets. We'll tell you about the Masters ticket scam, and then Ted is going to troll me by telling me the do's and don'ts of going to the Masters, because he's been not once, but
twice.
Unbelievable. There's no justice in the world.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, the fullback solo offset right. Martin is the eye back behind quarterback Chad Pennington. That's a fake end around. Back to throw. Flares it out to the right. Oh, what a great play by Ted Johnson. He was shadowing Curtis Martin, who caught the pass, had an offensive lineman out in front to block Jonathan Goodwin, but Ted Johnson just slipped in behind him and made the tackle.
Very athletic play.
Curtis Martin, Hall of Famer.
Took him down.
You know,
slipped in behind the blocker and just.
Yeah. Curtis Martin, part of what is arguably one of the best draft classes of all time.
All right. Do you remember?
I just looked at Tom and said that. That's Ty Law's going in this year, right?
That second rounder's not holding up his end of the bargain. The only problem, you have 1995 Patriots draft, Hall of Famer and Ty Law, third rounder, Hall of Famer and Curtis Martin. Second round of Ted Johnson, 11 and a half sacks.
Do you remember that play?
One interception. I do. Isn't that weird? I do remember that play. It was a screen to Curtis. And I always get my dauber up when I get to play Curtis when he went to the Jets. It was, I'll never forget. I mean, I just remember that time when Parcells went to the Jets, and Curtis was a restricted free agent. And they made an offer to Curtis that was, I think Bill gave him 6 years, 36. Something just out of the ballpark for running backs. And Curtis has obviously proved it to be a great decision. But it was one of those deals where Willie McGinnis and myself were both going into 1 year left on our deal. And you just wonder if they kept Curtis, whether or not I'd still be a Patriot, because there's only so much money to go around. So they didn't match the offer, and he went to the Jets, and obviously had a Hall of Fame career. And so Curtis was one of my favorite teammates. And I'll never forget the first rookie mini camp. I just, you know, we go to a rookie mini camp. They had them back then. And I had to do one-on-ones. I remember calling my dad, Ted Sr., at the first night of rookie minicamp. I'm like, Sr., I don't know about this NFL, man. Some guy I've never heard of named Curtis Martin from Pitt. He's running circles around me. Well, I didn't know anything about Curtis coming out of college because his junior year, he tore his ACL. So he didn't even play his junior year at Pitt. So he was a relatively unknown player for me. And then turns out to be one of the greatest to ever play that position. It was pretty cool to be part of that draft class, you know, and to see Ty going in is really awesome this year. So congratulations to Ty Law and Curtis. We're going off on a tangent here, but Curtis is one of my all-time favorites. And he was smooth, man. You know, the thing about Curtis Martin was his ability to explode out of his cuts. Like, he could be right there and make a cut, and you think you have him, and he's gone. Like, so explosive out of his cuts. And
how,
such an how awesome
you,
open
How were you
line.
Ever able to slip behind his blocker then and tackle him? I mean, is it because of your superior athleticism?
We've talked about this earlier in the show, Hardy. It's to play middle linebacker at the highest level, you have to be not just a freak athlete. You have to be a super freak athlete.
So. Intelligent, I think. And distinguished.
Right.
How do you distinguished. You're not getting in the backfield unless you're distinguished.
That's correct. That is correct. Thank you, Mike.
Did your matinee idol good looks help or hinder you in terms of your career and your ability to make plays like that?
I don't think my good looks didn't affect my play one way or the other.
Jesus Christ.
But thank you for noticing. There's nothing. Hey, I have a Cro-Magnon man forehead. I have a big neck. There's nothing. I'm a throwback,
come
man.
On.
There's
no.
He's humble. He's humble.
You're a handsome man. Don't start in with the humility now.
Stop.
All right. So here's my point on the whole, like, letting players play where they want to play and, mm-hmm. you know, give them the same choices that other people have in life and blah, blah, blah. First of all, I say nonsense. Nonsense. Now, while you may be very well free to do whatever you want once you graduate high school or college, many people are operating under the same restrictions based on their economic status or their socioeconomic level. You know, you are confined to a certain area based on what job opportunities are best suited for you, right?
That's fair.
And I think to say that, you know, NBA players or professional athletes are the only ones that are told where to go. Well, the first most obvious hand-raising moment say, what about guys in the military? You know, guys mm-hmm. guys who enlist are told where to go and what to do and what time to do it for years. You know, they don't have any say in where they go. Okay, that's in service to your country. That's a little bit different. You're not out in the quote-unquote, you know, you're not leading a private life of your own. But I would say this, even if it is the case, let's say, okay, you know what? You're right. These guys don't have a say. They have to go where they have to go, or they don't get to play, and they don't get to do that. And is that so wrong? I mean, would you have chosen to go where you were drafted just in terms of a place to live? And how many players would have chosen that spot who end up having great lives mm-hmm. and great experiences and things unfold for you and open up, and you end up making a life wherever it is that you go? Some places may be just inherently more desirable than others. If you're a warm weather guy and you end up getting drafted by Green Bay and you have to play in Green Bay, or, you know, if you're a baseball player and, you know, you're from the Dominican and you don't necessarily want to play for the Brewers, okay, that might just suck and you might be cold every day for the entirety of your existence there. But for every one of those stories, for people who are miserable in the place where they drafted, the place they started out, I give you 10 examples of guys who got drafted by a team and ended up in a city where they found their home.
True.
They found their home in life. And a lot of that is upon you, man. You've got to decide.
You make it what you want to make it. Kind of.
You have to decide. But, you know, who's to say what is a better existence? A guy who says, I know exactly where I'm going, and half the league feels the same way. I'm going to Hollywood. I'm going to L.A. and play for the Lakers, and I'm going to do movies. And you might very well find out when you get out there that it sucks.
Very true.
It's, I mean, Yep. You've spent time out there. I've spent time out there. I would not want to live in that town. You might think you know what you want when you're 18, 19, 20 years old. You may find out, though, that getting drafted by Pittsburgh or being, you know, for an NBA player, being drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder, you're going to have a hell of a life in Oklahoma City. You can meet some really good people. And oh, by the way, you can live a lot better on the money that you're making there. And you can end up having an enormously impactful and rewarding life in a lot of different places. It has so much more to do with the person and what you do once you get there than the zip code that you're living in.
Preach, Artie. I get it. No, you're absolutely right. And I think the military example you bring up is the guys thing about the military is they know what they're signing up for. Like, you go into the if you're going to play professional football, you know what you're signing up for. Everybody gets drafted. No, it's not like there's, you know, anybody gets favoritism. I mean, there's some quarterbacks. Eli Manning that can maybe navigate it so that. And create it so that he can go to the team that he wants. But for the most part, everybody's got to go where they're drafted. So everybody knows the deal. And then also, like, if the main thing is if you're lucky enough to get play for, like, if you were to go back in time to 1995, and I was looking at teams that I wanted to play for back then, the Patriots would have been high on my list. You know why? Bill Parcells. I was the biggest Bill Parcells fan, and there was something about being drafted by Bill Parcells. It was such a high honor for me. And so, I grew up in Houston, spent a lot of my high school years in San Diego. You know, I've always had an affinity for, you know, grew up an Oilers fan. It's been fun to play for the Oilers. It's been fun to play for the Broncos, where I went to school in Boulder. It'd been fun maybe for the 49ers. I always liked Bill Walsh and that system. But I get to play for Bill Parcells, and so it doesn't matter. If you have great coaching and a great front office, and if you're lucky enough to get a good quarterback, another fun kind of factoid for me is I played for a team for 10 years that had two quality quarterbacks. How many guys – that's the one thing I think is tough. You're talking about middle like guys being unhappy. If you had to play for a team where you had a quarterback that you knew you didn't have a chance week in, week out, very difficult to play do your job at a high level, knowing that, you know, as violent as the game is and all the things that come with playing football, if you know you don't have a chance, winning is what makes it all worth it. And so I had quarterback play where I had a chance to win every single Sunday. I was so lucky. A lot of guys' football careers don't have a quarterback that they know they can win every single Sunday. I did for 10 years.
It changes your attitude about everything.
Everything! Yeah. Everything.
Okay, we're going to grab all these calls. A lot on the Celtics still holding on. A lot of you for a long time. I apologize for the wait, but we'll get to you next as we continue here. Hardy and Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Birch.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, to your call, 617-779-0985. Hardy and Ted Johnson. In for Zolak and Bertrand, Mike O'Brien on our headlines here, and Steve in Lowell calling about Al Horford. Steve, what do you got for us?
How you doing?
Good.
First, just quickly, Carson Edwards, if he was 2 inches taller, he would have been a lottery pick. But
who would have been? Horford,
yeah, Carson Edwards.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha.
He's just too short. But on Horford, I've been looking at possibilities of where he could go if he wants to play for a championship contender. And honestly, there's very few teams that either have the cap space have a need for a center. I don't know where he's going to go.
I've been saying this, Steve, and I appreciate you. I understand what he wants. It's what any player of his age and experience and talent would want is, you know, the hardware to show for it. What team right now is out there saying, Al Horford would get us over the hump? That's the one piece that we're missing, and then we are, you know, top four. You know, we are a conference finalist at the minimum with Al Horford on this team. What team is that?
Philly. Now you're taking him away. He's not guarding Embiid. You have a guy who can take away minutes from Embiid so we can get some rest.
Mike, when you put it in that perspective, it's like, okay, it might make most sense for a team in the East who doesn't have to play against him and worry about his defense. Yeah.
The only thing is you think about, is he going to get paid what he wants to get paid? Like, my guess is he'd get paid a lot more money just staying here. Who's going
to? Philly's got the cap space.
Is he the missing piece?
Is it enough to get them over Toronto? It would help them against Milwaukee for sure. There's enough to get him past Toronto.
Yeah, okay. I just don't think he's going to make nearly as much money going somewhere else that he would make here. He's going to play for, you know, I think, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Golden State? No. They have, you know, does he go to Golden State? Everybody's linking him to the Lakers.
It's it's fun to talk about the upcoming NBA season.
Seems like the Spurs
without the foregone conclusion that Golden State is going to be your Western Conference finalist. It's nice. Yeah. It's up in the air right now. They still might be, but it's not the foregone conclusion that it's been for the last 5 years. Brandon in Boston, what do you got for us, Brandon?
Oh, hey, guy. Sorry, I had you on, guys, on the speaker. So I just want to talk about the draft. I can't believe you give up Dedrick Lawson and Bobo, right? So Dedrick Lawson is your future Anthony Davis. 19 points, 10 rebounds, and we round it off. 2 assists. Bobo, 21 points. We round it off. 10 rebounds. We round it off. 2 assists. Great big men. And Bobo's actually your future Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Shoot the three. He can shoot the three.
Yeah.
Spread the
floor. He can shoot a little bit.
Pass.
Yeah.
And he can dunk on you. How do you give that up, man? It's like, I don't know what that, you know, now that I'm thinking, Danny Ainge actually needs to be fired. We need to move on from Danny Ainge, seriously. I'm serious about this.
What did you think about Danny Ainge? What did you think about Danny Ainge at the start of this last season?
Danny Ainge, right?
What did you think about Danny Ainge when Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving and Al Horford and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were all getting ready to take the court together for game one of the 2018-19 season?
Check this out. When Isaiah Thomas was here and they lost to LeBron James, and then, you know, season ended and we traded for Kyrie, I said, Danny Ainge is giving away too much assets for Kyrie.
So you didn't like the trade? You think they lost?
I was like, is this guy serious? He's giving all these assets away for Kyrie? I mean, and look what happened. Kyrie screwed him, and he's out of here. Al Horford screwed him because we're just playing to play now? Come on. Danny Ainge needs to be fired.
Okay, thank you, Brandon.
That's the craziest.
Danny Ainge.
Nobody had a problem with that.
Danny Ainge was the architect that put this team together, and everybody was in love with it. They were the foregone conclusion Eastern Conference champion. Your Eastern Conference champion, Boston Celtics, before the start of last season. Hayward, Irving, going to be on the court.
You're already giving it too much credit. He's criticizing for not taking a guy drafted 44th and an undrafted guy.
Bulbul.
Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant went 44 and undrafted last night.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the best way to put
it. Well, all right. I gave it too much time, but thank you for the call.
The thing about Danny Ainge is you can't. I mean, he set this team up for success. He did. He just did. I mean, making the trade for Kyrie Irving at the time. I mean, I think there was a little bit of debate on whether or not it was a good deal because there was so much love and an infatuation with Isaiah Thomas. It turned out to be the right. Isaiah Thomas has never been the player ever since before the trade. So
they fell remarkably short this season. Yep. No one is denying that.
Yeah.
But no one saw it coming either.
Right.
Nobody predicted this. No one.
And Danny Ainge can't get in the minds of these players. He can't, like, you know, he wants them to come here with the hope that they'll want to re-sign here.
Right.
That they'll want to make a long-term commitment. And that's kind of what you got to do if you're a general manager of a team that has a hard time getting free agents to come here. You got to trade for them with the hopes that they buy into the system, that they love the city, that they're happy here, that they want to commit here long term. That's what you have to do if you're the general. And it doesn't always work out.
If this team had been playing to its potential, does it get through Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Do they have a real legitimate chance at beating Toronto?
Yes.
We know what happened to Golden State with the injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not so far-fetched to say this team was actually the team that got all but swept, one game away from swept in the second round, could have quite easily been NBA champions this year. I am not going to say fire Danny Ainge, but we've given it too much time. Tom in Salisbury, what do you got for us, Tom?
I was when you guys were talking about people choosing where they go now, like this year, if Zion didn't enter the draft, well, could he wait until it's over and then be a free agent and go to any team he wants, like have a workout with any team he wants?
The idea put out there is that essentially all players coming into the league in the NBA should be able to choose where they want to go, and teams would still be, you know, restricted due to salary caps in terms of who they want, you know, who they would accept and who they want to have join their team. And you got to play it 3-4 years out, and you got to, you know, determine who's going to get paid what over the course of those years. But the underlying theory is that, yes, players, specifically incoming NBA players, should be able to choose where they want to go.
But do they have to be draft eligible, or can he decide after the draft that, yes, I want to be an NBA player and go to the highest bidding team? Like the kid that did the New Balance internship, he got paid. Did he have to be draft eligible?
I don't know. What difference would it make in this scenario? It's just a scenario. It's just
you have to go through the draft. You can't just become a free agent out of college.
Yes, that's what I was saying. You have to enter the draft. You can't decide a month after the draft that you want.
But there is no draft.
A month after the draft, there isn't.
All right. Not going to happen. Just like Montreal and Tampa splitting a baseball team is not going to happen.
Yeah.
There's going to be a draft.
You have to get drafted in the NFL. You have to get drafted in the NBA. Into the league any other way.
The underlying notion in all of this is that players would be happy, or they would have a greater chance at quote-unquote happiness if they had a say in where they're going to live and where they're going to begin their, you know, mm-hmm. adult lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not as an 18-year-old, but after college, whatever. And I just say, be careful with that. Careful what you wish for, because, you know, most people don't have complete autonomy to live where they want to live. They are restricted by other factors, and people manage to have meaningful, happy lives without having total freedom to go wherever they want, do whatever they want to do. You know, it's incumbent upon you to kind of make the best of your situation. And being an NBA player in just about any market, making that kind of money,
you should make you happy.
Yeah, you should.
Should make you happy.
You've at least got a leg up on your competition, so to speak.
And at least first 4 years of your contract in the NFL, 3 years and three games, you have to play for the team that drafted you. Then you can go pick and choose where you want to go after that.
All right, Ted Johnson will troll me with his Masters stories coming up here at 1 o'clock on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy and Ted Johnson in today. Joining us now, sporting director for Your New England Revolution, Bruce Arena, on the phone with us. Actually, I don't know if I can pull him up here. Jim, you might have to do it for me.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
There we go. Hey, thank you very much. How you doing? Wrapping up the U.S. Open Cup. Team did pretty well. I'm just curious as to how you like this tournament and what you think of the format, especially it being a mid-season one and all.
Well, I think the championship or the Open Cup is important to have. I think it's good for the sport in the country. With the league and the different fixture dates, it's certainly been difficult to find the right dates for all the teams in Major League Soccer. So that part is challenging, but there's a strong history of that competition, and I think it's good to have, and I thought it was good for us to get those two games.
Coach, you got you start back up league play this Wednesday. You host the Philadelphia Union at Gillette Stadium. Currently, Philadelphia, they sit atop the Eastern Conference standings right now. Just your thoughts on that team earlier in the year when you guys played them. It didn't go so well for you. Just your thoughts on Philadelphia.
Well, I'm happy to say that I wasn't around when they played the game in Philadelphia. But they are a very good team. Yeah, they're one of the highest scoring teams in the league. They have an outstanding goalkeeper in Blake. There's a player I coach on the national team, Alejandro Bedoya, who's their captain, and he's been a great leader for them. And they're a very good team, and I think it's just a great challenge for our club. It's a big week next week for the Revolution. If we have any aspirations of qualifying for the playoffs, we need to get a win in this game.
You know, I'm curious to ask you about what seems to be like an increased number of scoring chances that I've seen. And most recently with your last game in the U.S. Open Cup, Caicedo had a shot go off the post, and there just seemed to be a flurry of them. And that was something that was lacking throughout the first part of this season. We talked about it before and how you kind of like to allow players to fit into their roles. Has that been the answer? And is that what is, I guess, resulted in some more scoring chances for this club since you've taken over?
Well, we've worked pretty hard with the team in terms of putting players in the right positions, working on our passing game, asking them to be more aggressive when we're in possession. And over the last three games that I've been in charge, we've had a bunch of good goal scoring opportunities, and probably the last game we've had the most. We played real well in the second half and had a bunch of good chances in the second overtime to try to send the game into penalty kick. So that part of our game has gotten better. And at the same time, we've been pretty solid on the defensive end of the field as well. So the team is improving, and I'm hopeful that is shown Wednesday against Philadelphia.
All right, so it's not just you who's different. You've been bringing in and adding to your staff. Richie Williams, I know, has been added as an assistant coach, and you two have a history together. Is there a yin and yang there, or is he pretty much coming on board to kind of reinforce what you want to already see out of this club so far?
Well, we've known each other for a long time, and we have a very much of a common understanding about how the game should be played, and we don't need to have a whole lot of discussions on how we train the group and the things we ask of the players. So it's a good relationship, the coaching staff. And I think when players see that, it makes it easy to present your concepts to the team on the field. And because they know the coaching staff is fully understanding that those are the things we should be doing. So it's a good relationship that the coaches have and the coaches have with the players. So I think we've seen some positive steps over the last couple of weeks.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to having you back home here and playing against Philadelphia and Houston. A couple of big tests back to back. Is it change anything in terms of training later on this week as you, take on Philadelphia and then you got to get ready for Houston again right away? What changes for you?
Well, I think some of the changes will be, it's likely in the second game we're going to have to change our starting lineup and bring in 2, 3, 4 new faces at a minimum, like we did over the past three games. And, when you have that short of recovery time in our sport, you need to think about making some changes. So this week in training, we'll be looking at some different combinations and have the players prepared to play in both games.
That's got to be tough, especially if you have a good outing from your starting 11 on Wednesday. It must kill you to have to change it up, for the match on Saturday.
Yeah, that's the case. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you make no changes because you feel so good about the performance. Or other times you just think it's necessary because the players put so much into the game before that, and you have to make changes. So we look at the depth we have in different positions. We look at the age of our players, and also a positive result on Wednesday makes it a little easier for us to consider making changes on Saturday.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's another way of looking at it. All right. Well, we'll be watching and listening to both Wednesday and Saturday. Coach, once again, thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. We're hopeful that your listeners can come out and support the team. This is a very important week for the Revolution.
It is, and the weather's going to be good. Everything is falling into place so far since your arrival, so I hope to see some support out there for you, too. I'll be there. I can say that
All
much.
Right.
I'll be there. All right, very good.
Great. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Gentlemen.
All right, there we go. Bruce Arena there joining us here.
I'll say this. I've gone to a lot of Revolution games in the past with my son. I love the venue is great. Summer afternoon, early evening, kind of summer evening it's just fun to watch a game in Gillette Stadium, man. I enjoy it. My son's a big soccer player, so we like to go to the Revolution games, and it's one of my favorite things to do, quite honestly.
It's such a, you know what, for people,
just easy and chill.
For people who haven't been, it is a different vibe. And yeah, it's an odd balance between the, like you said, you know, it's not as intense
right
as like a football game or a hockey game, yet you have near constant action.
I love that.
You know, there's always there's always something happening, but with the expectation that something could happen at any moment.
That's
here.
Right.
So while it is in some ways more relaxed, you've got, you know, believe me, you've got the sections that never stop, and the music's going, mm-hmm, and you know, and the cheering is going, and that remains consistent, but it is a different type of vibe balanced out with that constant motion on the field.
I like it.
I like it too. I do. I enjoy the game.
Yep.
So, all right, we'll step aside here in 90 seconds. Mike O'Brien with our Hub headlines, and then I am prepared to sit here and listen to Ted.
Take it.
Give me the do's and don'ts of attending the Masters, like I ever have a chance of ever going. But Ted's going to do it to me anyway, because he's been not once, but twice, an analog troll job taking place next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.